John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts, good read every week, will join us in the final hour of the program. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Thursday afternoon, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ivan Maisel is on the line with us, covers college football, host of Down and Distance podcast. You can read his work on ESPN.com, and he now joins us. Ivan, how you doing?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Let's just start with the sad losses in the SEC. The conference took a hit with two legendary coaches in Pat Dye and Johnny Majors. It was tough to see that in the same week, but boy, did we go down some memory lanes with folks on the show last week about the unbelievable work they did in the SEC.
Yeah, that was a big. I mean, if you had to think of the SEC in the 80s, I mean, those were probably the two most prominent coaches in the league after Coach Bryant died, and with very good reason. I mean, they won a lot. They became the faces of their programs, and Johnny had, he's been the face of Tennessee's program for pretty much the second half of the 20th century. But that was just a reminder that, times are passing.
How do you think moving forward? We're seeing, we've seen the Mike Norvell story at Florida State. Dabo Swinney is having to answer a lot of questions about his assistant from an incident in 2017. How do you think this coach/coaches relationships with these student athletes moving forward is going to be? Because I think we would be very naive if we don't think things are changing for the better for the student athlete. Do you agree?
I do agree, and I think this is going to be a case where college football is reflecting society. I think all of society is taking a long, hard look at how we view African Americans and realizing that we've come up short. There certainly has been lip service paid, but there hasn't been, not enough has changed. And I'm old enough that things have changed over the course of my lifetime, but not at a very fast pace, if you think about it. And I think the smart coaches will understand that this is not personal criticism, and that they won't get defensive, that they will learn from it, process it, and learn from it, and change the way they do business.
That's well said. Ivan Maisel from ESPN, great historian of the game, and you can hear that perspective as we get a chance to talk to him. Ivan, you did a piece on Reggie Bush the other day, and it really got my wheels turning. As we move forward here, as time goes by, as you know, sometimes you look at things different. And now, the NCAA even seems to be getting on board with, getting money for your likeness and things like that. We know a lot of the general things that got Reggie Bush in trouble about 10 years ago. And you're making a case, basically, it's time to sort of give him the Heisman back. Who's kidding who? He earned the Heisman. We know what happened, but he should get that back. Explain.
Well, there's two parts of it. One is I never thought they should have taken it away in the first place. And technically he sent it back before the Heisman Trust acted, but you could see where things were going. Whatever happened, whatever he was guilty of doing vis-a-vis the NCAA manual, he still had, he did what he did on the field, and he didn't do it. This is not a a Bonds-Clemens thing where his the rules he broke affected his play on the field. You know, his play on the field was should continue to speak for itself. And but more to this point, even if you grant the fact that, you know, okay, he should not have been recognized as the Heisman winner, the NCAA has decided that you cannot be disassociated for more than 10 years. And the university has gone along with that. So he's now no different than somebody, and this is, you know, it's probably a bad analogy, but if you think of somebody who is in prison or on probation or what have you, you know, once that is over, then they are returned to society. So now Reggie Bush is a member in good standing in the college football community. Why wouldn't they send him the Heisman back? You know, he has paid his debt to college football, you know, to just torture the analogy to the very end.
Yeah.
So why not give it back to him?
It really brings up a discussion I think we've been having for years on shows like this, Ivan, that is, you know, how do you punish the NCAA violations? Because, you know, so much has come out, documentaries on any number of situations where a player has taken advantage of opportunities, temptations to, you know, for financial gain, et cetera, while they've been playing, the extra benefits, to put it in an NCAA term. And so what's the best way to go? Retroactively punish the team, you know, the fruit from the poison tree, you use that reference in that. So it's a tricky question to try to figure out how to do it, but what's the right answer? I don't know if we know.
Well, thank you for saying that I use that, because my parents wanted me to go to law school and I became a sports writer instead. So anytime I can do anything that sounds like I'm smart, everybody in my family's happy. It's certainly not fair to the kids who are in the program now, to the young men and women who are in the program now. But I don't think you cannot punish the program. And, because if you don't punish the program, then, you know, there's less incentive to follow the rules. You know, what's the penalty? Is the penalty merely financial if you don't punish them on the field or on the court? You know, and what financial penalty would be sufficient to affect behavior? You know, I don't know that answer. You know, it took years and years and years to figure out that the most effective behavior, the most effective penalty for a program was to take away scholarships. You know, they tried taking away TV appearances, but they figured out that penalized the opponent as well, and you know, was not fair. They tried taking away bowl appearances, and nobody really cared. But you affect a number of people that can dress out, then all of a sudden you have really hurt a program. And so I think that will serve and has served as a deterrent. It's not fair to the players who are there, but NCAA now allows them to leave with no redshirt year. So I think they've done everything they can do to allow, you know, to balance the equation.
And it is fair to say that USC has paid a price for what was found out about those amazing juggernaut teams they had under Pete Carroll, right? You can argue that they have not been the same since, true?
They have not been the same since. They recovered much faster than most schools who endure those penalties. Somebody made the supposition to me, since I wrote that column, that not only SC but the entire Pac-12 was penalized, and that one of the reasons that the Pac-12 has slumped in the last decade is because USC was penalized. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I think that, you know, there are people out there making that case. I think the Pac-12's got, you know, their problems come from other places. But it's no question, you know, the fact that USC went from 2008 to 2017 before it won another conference championship and it has only won one in 12 years is historically significant.
We're talking to Ivan Maisel from ESPN, does great work for them. Now, I enjoyed the piece that you and Bill Connolly and Mark Schlabaugh did drafting the best seasons in college football history, but I thought it was fun because that's what we're doing these days with no live sports.
That's all we got.
But I'm curious because in round one you went 2007 and in round two you went 2005, and you know I've seen 1985, 1990, 1984 come in there. So what was the rationale with those two seasons with your first two picks?
Well, 2007 was totally, you know, me doing the panic auction purchase, you know, because Bill had the first draft pick, and he said I wavered between 90 and 07, and I decided to go with 90. So I thought, oh, 07's available, and I grabbed it. And I thought, after I grabbed it, I thought, why did I grab that? But it was, you know, it was a great season because it flipped the whole sport flipped on its head. It was like a photo negative of college football. And in that season, it was a blast. You know, in that sense, it was a blast. 05 was just one of those rare years where the two best teams at the beginning of the year made it to the national championship game. And the buildup of SC and Texas that whole season was just terrific. And, you know, Texas had an early season nail biter against Ohio State. USC had the Bush push, you know, come back against Notre Dame, and then they played one of the great games of, you know, certainly my lifetime in the Rose Bowl, not to mention, you know, the individual performances I pointed out, like Elvis Dumervil and Tyrone Prothrow. I mean, it was just a big, broad, fun year.
Well, I thought it was fun to read through and well done. But before we let you go, though, I mean, we obviously a lot of unknowns with this season and what it's going to look like. Will it be fans in the stands?
Yep.
I mean, again, these are the other things that we've been talking about for the last 3 months, but we haven't had a chance to get your opinion on it. So if you had to guess, you know, do you think the season starts on time? Do you think there will be fans? What will it look like with college football this year?
I think the season will start on time. I think there will be some fans, you know, probably about an average of 25% to 30% capacity. I think they have done just incredible work in planning and protocols for very unusual circumstances, and that the minute we have a resurgence or an entire locker room falls ill or a significant portion of a locker room falls ill, then it's all going to go to hell. And in that sense, I think it's going to be a lot more like wartime football, you know, where some schools didn't play, some schools did play, some schools played short schedules, some schools played full schedules. I'm not, you know, the plans they have are good, but the unknown is still lurking out there. And I think we've got to at least expect that the unknown is going to appear again.
As we wrap this up, I remember a story you did, it was probably, I don't know, a year or two ago, about the unfortunate death of former Washington State quarterback Tyler Helinski. It was a good piece just talking about that. Where did that come from? I think you were close to the family, is that right? I'll let you kind of set it up.
Well, I became close to the family in the course of reporting the article. Basically, Tyler Helinski ended his life in January of 2018 as the heir apparent to the Washington State quarterback job. And in a lot of ways, his life mirrored my son's life. My son Max ended his life in February of 2015. So I had a 3-year head start on what the Helsinki family was going through. So when I reached out to them, and I waited 6 months, and I thought long and hard about how to do it, and finally just decided, if I'm going to do a story like this, I'm going to tell it through the eyes of the parents, because that's what I know, and that's why that's the unique vantage point I can bring and try to explain to a public that doesn't want to hear about suicide and doesn't know how to respond to grieving parents. This is what this life is like, and don't run away from us, reach out to us. So that's what I tried to do with that story, and in the course of that, I did become close to Mark and Kim Helsinki, and I think the work they're doing with their Helsinki's Hope Foundation is just off the charts, and hopefully helped explain to people that mental illness is it's a disease like other diseases. It's just it's insidious because you can't see it, but it's we need to be open about it.
Thank you for doing that, and thanks for joining us today. You continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
All right, that is Ivan Maizel. Covers college football for ESPN, ESPN.com, also host of the podcast Down and Distance. Back to wrap up the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.